Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Stranglers. I'm Kylie.
And I'm Bree.
And I'm Nicole.
And I'm your special guest, Chelsea.
Woo woo. I'm excited about this one. Before we get into what it is, I have to tell you about my IHOP experience I just had, because I'm eating my food. I ordered waffles, you know. First off, guys, I was telling these people, my co-hosts at Perfect Stranglers, IHOP makes the best fucking gluten-free waffles I've ever had. But also, I got hash browns, and I love hash browns with ketchup. Like, I think it's great, but they're soggy. They're like, just like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're going to have hash browns, I need them fucking crispy, or else, like, what's the point?
Or, like, the outside crispy, at least.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just a pile of soft tater. Mm. No one likes a soft tater unless it's mashed.
Yeah, no.
You know?
My favorite thing to put on hash browns is some hot sauce. Some, what is it? Oh, Chiquita?
Cholula.
Cholula. Chiquita's a banana.
No, is it?
Chiquita banana.
Okay, Cholula. Yeah.
With the little wooden top, screw top, it's like a circle, round, spherical top, but that's wooden.
Yes. Chiquita is the banana brand.
Yes.
Cholula is
the Chiquita banana. Because remember when Chiquita bananas were like a big thing and you could dress as like a Chiquita banana for Halloween?
What?
Does anyone remember that or no?
No.
Am I the only one?
I don't know. Oh, I see a woman here.
And then do you remember
Miss
when...
Chiquita Banana.
I just feel like there was, like, this golden age of food mascots where there was, like, the Raisin Dude, the Peanuts guy, all of the cereal.
Mr. Peanut.
Mr. Peanut, all of, like, the cereal characters, like, Tony the Tiger and all that stuff. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, a golden age of food characters.
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
Okay, so...
What? Are you laughing at me still?
No, I'm laughing at myself saying Chiquita instead of Cholula. Chiquita. Like, what
you don't like the Chiquita hot sauce?
I got bananas on the brain.
Mm-hmm. More like
okay, moving on.
What? Well, okay, what I was going to say is, so Nicole, if you're in the GR area, Nicole sent over a link to, what was the cafe that you sent?
The Mortal Cafe, I think is what it's called.
Yes. Yes, and it's in a co-working space, which explains why the hours are so shitty. Mm. Yes, but I was going to say, have you ever heard of the East Town Cereal Cafe?
Oh, yes. Isn't it run by, like, some young girl?
Yes, it's a minority-owned business. I think she started it while she was still in high school. Mm-hmm. I think she's, like, 18.
Yeah.
The Food Network came, and they were a part of... she was a part of a show on Food Network. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure which show she was on or anything, but there's pictures of her filming. But basically, East Town Cereal Cafe, you go there, and you, like... From what I understand, I haven't been yet. You pick your cereal, you can pick a milk, and you can make like cereal shakes and cereal waffles and all of that type of good stuff out of just like your favorite cereals.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think it's really cool. And I feel like y'all need to know that.
It's a brilliant idea. You need to know that. And that's a thing. I have wanted to go there for a while now.
Yeah. Like cereal isn't super expensive. Like the cost to make cereal is really low. So they really mark it up quite a bit. But it's probably not that expensive of a business to run, I wouldn't think, as far as like cost on product, except for dairy. Dairy would be expensive. Yeah. But I feel like the cheaper, like more inexpensive cereals and then the cost of dairy might even itself out. I don't know. I don't know anything about running a business, guys. I'm just saying what I'm thinking as far as my grocery shopping knowledge goes.
Extreme couponer. Not here.
Extreme couponing. Oh, do you remember when couponing was like a serious like thing and then grocery stores came out with rules against coupons?
Yeah.
That you couldn't not use?
Really disappointed my
life. It's so much work. It's so much work. Like the stress of couponing. And the other thing, for a moment is you only can get coupons on food, at least, that's bad for you. Like Doritos and pop and cereal and like, okay. Or, okay, so you're cutting your cost of living and you're... medical expenses are going to be sky high when you like fucking die, or you can go eat a goddamn apple and maybe a chicken breast, pay a little more now. I'm just saying, sorry, just had a rant for a hot sec. It just bothers me.
Yeah.
Our Kylie. Is fucked. Yeah, it really bothers me that's so much. I just want a coupon for like $5 off $20 of produce and I'd be happy.
Actually, Festival did have some coupons recently like that.
Yeah, they started doing that. I did get a coupon in my Meijer. In my Meijer, you know, your coupons come out, and perks, whatever. For like $5 off my next purchase of like $50. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, do you?
I would love to have just like generic coupons like that. Just like overall. Right. And I feel like people would use them more.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, typically you have to go to like that store's site or... whatever to get any kind of like generalized coupon, because everything else is just like really like manufacturer coupons that come out.
Right
yep. Do you guys also remember, I don't know if this was extreme couponing and I feel like it was, but there was an episode where they didn't use any sort of toilet paper and they also didn't have a bidet, so they were using rags to wipe their shit with.
That's extreme. Yes. Cheapskates.
Yep.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, they were using rags, and, like, when I was watching that, I remember thinking, that is disgusting. But then again, I also did cloth diapering, which was not nearly as disgusting as you'd think. Like, at all.
You sure about that?
But still, yeah, it wasn't as disgusting as you'd think at all. Because the majority of baby's poop just plops in the toilet. You just plop it off the diaper, you plop it off, and then you spray it with the bidet sprayer, and it's clean. Everything goes into the toilet.
Okay.
But I was thinking adult poops are much bigger than a baby poop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Sorry to get on this.
Okay, also, you're putting that, is she going to the laundromat? Or is she putting that in her washer? Also, people bring gross things to the laundromat, too. Really gross things. I'm sorry for anyone who has to use the laundromat.
E. coli.
I used to have to.
That's one of the things that I hate about living in an apartment is, like, I know that a washer is, like, supposedly, like, it's clean or whatever, but I still don't think it's clean at all because, like, other people's dirty nasties. I don't know what you're doing in your underwear, but your underwear nasties are touching my underwear nasties. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want...
Well, like, even in my own washer, like, if I wash, like, the dog blankets and the rugs, which I wash together because it's, like, all super gross stuff, after I wash that, I always do, like, a load of bleach things after it, and then do, like, my clothes and stuff after that.
Yeah. And the other thing is you're supposed to leave your washer open because it's wet, so it's supposed to let it dry out. And so many people are closing it. There was actually a note that said, close the washer when you're done. I was like, no, that's how mold happens.
Exactly.
You fucking idiot. Right.
If you want something really easy to clean your washer with, Afresh makes little pods. You just throw it in there on your hottest cycle and cleans it really well. Just FYI.
Nice.
That's a good idea. If I cared enough about my washers here, I'd do that. But then again, like,
yeah, I wouldn't do it like in an apartment where you share it with other people.
But I like want to. But I want to though because like I hate the thought of it.
Yeah.
I see my own house. Anyway, you guys, I'm going to do housework real quick, and then we're going to get into this episode.
Sounds good.
Okay. Hi, Stranglers. Kylie here. Thank you so much for listening every week. We are so glad to be back for season 2, and we would love to hear what you think of our all-new season. So head to Apple Podcasts and hit that 5-star rating and give us a review, and we would love to hear from you. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Facebook is at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at Perfect_Stranglers. Twitter is at Perf Stranglers. And you can also visit our website, PerfectStranglers.com. And send us your stories, your listener stories. You know we love to hear them. That would be contact@PerfectStranglers. And just, like, follow us, like us, share us. We'll tell you what's going down in Strangler Town. And back to you in the studio. Hi, Brie.
So, today, We're talking about reincarnation, which is our long-awaited episode about reincarnation ever since, I think it was that story with, Tracy Gold and her, the ghost, which was her son waiting to be born. All right, so just the basics about reincarnation. It is the religious or philosophical concept of a soul, the non-physical essence of a living being, beginning a new life in a different physical body after the biological death of their previous earthly form. It's a belief that is found in many religions and cultures worldwide, and it has been studied by many psychologists and other scholars, many of them using hypnosis as a tool to open the subconscious to learn more about the subject's past life experiences. A psychiatrist named Ian Stevenson at the University of Virginia studied more than 2,500 young children over the span of 40 years who claimed to remember their past lives. He would document the child's statements and statements from the child's family members, which oftentimes correlated to a real deceased person who seemed to match the child's memories. He also discovered that some of the children actually had birthmarks or birth defects that matched up with wounds and scars on the deceased people that their souls previously inhabited, as evidenced by medical records and autopsy reports. As a researcher, he tried to find an explanation, but could find no such explanation. I have a story that I've been given permission to share. I saw a mother posting a story about her son's past life on a Facebook group that I'm in. So let me find that real quick. All right, here's the story. So I don't formally believe in reincarnation, but when my son was about 3 or so, he randomly out of the blue said, "I really miss my son. He died and I miss him." I played it cool and just said, "Well, when people die, they go to heaven. So whoever it is that died, you can see them again someday when you go to heaven. So don't be sad." He went on. "His name was Shook Shook, and he died from climbing a pokey tree. I told him not to." I tried not to give it too much attention and just let it go. But about 6 months later, I was reading, and someone in the book was talking about reincarnation, and it reminded me of what my son said. So I asked him, "Hey, buddy, do you remember how you told me that you had a son that died on a pokey tree and you were sad?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you remember his name?" He seemed to have trouble remembering for a moment. I honestly couldn't think of the name at that moment either. So I suggested a name he used around that time when he pretended, which sounded like Imi Gaga. He said, "Oh no, not that. His name was Shook Shook." I was pretty weirded out then, because even though I had forgotten, I knew he was right, and he used that same name both times, 6 months apart. If it was reincarnation, it makes me wonder if the other weird things he used to say were part of whatever language he spoke in a previous life. He would say that he could see Pocus, sounds like the second word in Hocus Pocus, out his window at night, and he would point to the distance where there were trees and lights from houses. He said Heka Shumai and Humashaki on a consistent basis, and we could never figure out what he was talking about. I figured I would ask, "Do you believe in reincarnation? And if so, why? And do any of the words I mentioned sound like a real language?" She spelled them out phonetically. That's how I was so able to easily say those. I thought that was a really interesting and cool story. And if any of our listeners know what language that is, she just drop by, send us a message or comment on her social media, because the woman who told that story, I chatted with her, and she was very interested in finding out if any of our listeners know.
Do we possibly think that might be Native American?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Some type of Native American dialect?
Yeah, I thought that it might be some kind of Native language. But I'm not a linguist.
So one of the friends that I went to college with, I'm still friends with her on Facebook, and I've chatted with her on and off. She is Native American, and I believe can speak some language. I don't even know how to say this properly. Some language in the Native American realm of languages. Right. I wonder if she would have any idea.
I mean, yeah,
you should.
There's a lot of Native languages.
There's a lot, but I wonder if it's like, I have no idea if this is how it works. Again, this is just like my white girl ignorance. But you know how, like, romance languages, they look different, but they all are kind of the same? Like, Portuguese, Spanish,
Italian,
French, Italian, yeah. They all kind of look the same, but they're different. Yeah. I wonder if it's that would be that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. That I don't know.
Maybe. You should send me the story, and I can send it to her and just see.
Yep, I will. Okay, and when I was prepping for this episode, Chelsea sent me the first chapter of a book called Journey of Souls by Dr. Michael Newton. He studied past lives and what happens between lives by interviewing his subjects while they were under deep hypnosis. The following tidbits of information came from his book. Under hypnosis, his subjects told him that when a soul leaves its earthly body, there's sometimes some confusion with younger souls that don't have as much experience and they require the help of guides to get to the next realm, while older souls may be able to navigate it on their own. Souls feel different after death because they're no longer attached to a body with a brain and central nervous system. And the souls go through a reorientation process when they return to the spirit world after death on Earth. This process includes an evaluation of the soul's actions on Earth and guidance. Souls that became involved with evil acts on Earth are sent to an intensive care unit of sorts. Once made whole again, the souls who receive this type of treatment sometimes choose to be reincarnated into someone who is the victim of others' evil acts in the next life. If their actions over many lifetimes reveal a pattern of cruelness and evilness, the souls may not be reincarnated and sent back to Earth right away. They may spend a long time in a solitary spiritual existence, up to 1,000 Earth years. Sometimes souls are very tired returning to the spirit world, even after they've been rejuvenated with the help of spirit guides. Souls have spirit groups that they go to after the reorientation process, and spirits are usually greeted with laughter, hugs, and celebration. But if a soul needs some rest, the spirit group respects that and defers the celebration until after the much needed rest. Soul groups consist of an average about 15 souls, but can vary between 3 and 25 souls. Sometimes souls from nearby cluster groups want to interact with souls not in their group, and that usually means that they're older souls who have made many friends over many lifetimes. There are different levels of soul experience, and the number of lives they have lived has nothing to do with it. It's the learning experiences and spiritual breakthroughs that they achieve that matter. Spirit groups contain souls that are at about the same level of development, although they all help each other process the lessons of their past lives. Oh, they all have their own strengths and weaknesses. In the spirit world, no soul is looked down upon. All souls are in a process of transformation and improvement. The whole feel and theme of the spirit world is just like love, kindness, and compassion. So, Chelsea does past life regressions. Can you tell us what is the process for that?
Sure. So as you talked about, people will a lot of the times use hypnosis to access past life memories. I, however, do it a little bit differently. So when I have a client, first of all, we talk about what their goal is as far as seeing past lives. So sometimes people want to see like traumatic lives to try and like heal from that trauma. Some people just want to see like connections. So they say that if you have like a really strong love or connection to someplace, like for me, Paris, my whole entire life, like obsessed, love it, whatever. They say that if you have like a strong connection like that, it's very likely that you've had a past life in that place and that it was a good life. And that was the case for me. I did have a life in Paris and it was amazing. And they also say the reverse, like if you have a revulsion to a place or a time period, it's probably because you had a bad life in that time. So for example, you just hate the Titanic, you hate the movie, you hate like just everything about that. You don't want to talk about the Titanic at all. Well, maybe you were on the Titanic and, you know, had a traumatic experience, and that's why you have such a unexplained revulsion to the Titanic in this life.
I have an unexplained... Actually, I have an explained revulsion to the Titanic because they played that fucking Celine Dion song over and over and over again in 1998, and I still hate that song.
Yes. Oh my God. Is, that would probably not be tied to past life trauma. So a lot of times people want to like figure out why they have such strong connections to a time period or a certain place. Sometimes people want to see lives with, you know, their friends and family. And sometimes people just want to, like, learn the lessons from the past lives. So first of all, we figure out the goal. And then the next thing that I do is I explain imagination. So imagination is the name that we've assigned to something that we don't really understand. So what we call imagination is actually tapping into channeled information and ideas that come from a spiritual and deeper place. So I ask my clients to try not to worry that they're just like imagining these past lives, because eventually if they're able to push past that, we get to a point where they are experiencing their lives so quickly that they wouldn't even have time to quote, make it up. So that's like the biggest thing that I need to explain to people, because that's one of the biggest hangups is, oh, I'm just imagining it. I'm just making this up.
Right.
But once we actually like get into it, things are coming so fast. There's no way you have time to like make it up, but we just have to like push past that point. So the way that I help guide people is I connect to them energetically. And so what that does is it allows me to guide them to where they need to go. And I am able to see what they see and also use my claircognizance, which is the knowing, to be able to ask the right questions to get the results that we want. And so once I connect to the person energetically, we just ask to be taken to where we need to go. So that's how what I do differs from like hypnosis. I don't need to take someone into hypnosis to be able to get them to where they need to go. The other thing that I really need to explain to people, before we see past lives, is that everyone experiences it differently. So some people are going to actually see things, like we talked about in the ghost episode, like seeing inside your mind, like how you would if you're reading a book. But some people don't. Some people will feel things. Some people will just know things. I tell people, just don't force anything. Just relax and let whatever floats across your mind float across your mind. So the example I give, the very first question I ask when we go into a past life, so we're going there and we need to figure out where we are, you know, where we are, who we are, whatever. So I start asking questions. That's basically why I'm there, to guide and ask questions and figure out. So the very first question I always ask is, where are we? Are we inside or outside? So sometimes people will be able to see, yeah, there's trees and grass, we're outside. Some people will just feel like, oh, I feel grass beneath my feet, we're outside. And some people will just know. They don't have anything else. They can't see anything. They can't feel anything. But they just know, like in their gut, that outside is the right answer. So that's kind of how that works. And then we just go through and ask questions to figure out, like, what's going on in this life, and what we need to see and learn. So that's my process.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Can everyone access the part of themselves that know about their past lives?
Yes. So everyone is capable of seeing their past lives. They just need to keep an open mind, and like I just explained, like, be able to understand that you're gonna not necessarily experience it like you think you should, you know? Like, if you think that you should be seeing things and you don't, like, that can be very frustrating and, like, block you. Or if you get so hung up on, like, oh, I'm just imagining this. But I've probably done a couple hundred regressions, and I've only ever had one person who just, like, couldn't relax and couldn't get through. So that's a pretty good success rate of being able to guide people to see their past lives.
Yeah. Have you done past life regression on yourself, or have you had someone help you do that? And what was the experience like?
Yeah, so I've actually had both. I've been guided by someone else to see my past lives. And I've also done self-guided to be able to see my own lives. So I've seen, like, ancient lives in, like, ancient Egypt. I've seen lives when I'm an animal. I was the golden retriever in one life. I've seen...
Oh, golden retriever energy!
Yeah.
I love it.
It's really sweet. I'll just tell a quick story about this life. So, in this life, I was a golden retriever, and every day my owner would let me out, and I would go around the neighborhood and, like, greet people, and people would pet me and give me treats and stuff, and I just, like, made a little cycle around my neighborhood.
That sounds like such a good life.
Mm-hmm. It was a really good life.
Do you know what your name was?
No. I've not been able to find out, like, names of any of my past lives.
Okay.
Yeah. To me personally, that's not super important. It's more like the experience. But I've seen alien lives. That's also a possibility. We don't only reincarnate on Earth. We can reincarnate on any planet or galaxy. My alien lives
okay,
were...
Okay, I know I said that I want to be... I know I said I wanted to be a killer in a fast life.
Yeah.
So,
the one life that I had where I accidentally killed someone was an alien life. So I was a reptilian, which is like the lizard people. And the reptilians are very notorious for, like, invading other planets and, like, you know, plundering and pillaging, stealing resources. And so I was there. Long story short, like, people, I was kind of not a weakling, but, like, I was, like, kind of like a foot soldier, like, very lower
grunt work.
Grunt worker.
Yeah.
And, some people, like the native people on the planet, were making fun of me. And so I tried to, like, you know, be big and scary, and I accidentally killed one of them.
Oh my god. Yeah. Hold on. Do you have other stories of just about aliens?
Not a lot.
No.
Most of the alien stories I have are very boring. The majority of alien lives that I've seen for myself and for other people is you go in, and usually there's either someone invading their planet to take their resources, or their planet is dying and they have to find a new planet. That is...
Have you ever been abducted?
I don't believe so, no.
Sorry, I have so many questions.
No. But that's a reoccurring theme that I've heard from other people too, is like, the planet is dying and you have to find a new planet or new resources. So, I've also seen a life of my own where I was a mythical creature. I was a griffin. Yeah, which is like the lion body, like bird head thing. So that was interesting. I had two stories that I wanted to tell. I've actually seen a life with me and Bree together, which is not surprising because we've known each other a long time in this life, and like we're very close. So it's not surprising that we've had past lives together. I've seen a couple lives with her, but the one life I wanted to talk about was we were sisters in like the late 1800s, early 1900s. It's always kind of like hard to nail down a certain time period. You just kind of have to tell from like what you're wearing and stuff. But we lived in like a boarding house for women together, and we were fine as sisters until we moved into this room, this boarding house. And we just started like really being jealous of each other, just being really bitchy and snipey. And it turns out that there was a ghost in this like apartment, and she was the ghost was a woman, and she was like influencing our energy and making us like jealous and like just like bad vibes and giving us bad vibes in this apartment. And then the second story I wanted to tell was I have seen my past life, the life before this one that I currently have now. So I believe I lived in Michigan, actually. I don't know exactly where, but when I was seeing this, it just like, I just felt like it was Michigan. And I've never been to Michigan before, so I don't even know like what it's like, but I just felt, I just knew that it was Michigan. So in this life, I had a best friend, and her name was Clara. And we were about the same age. We were born not that far apart. And we were, like, really close friends. We sat next to each other on the bus. And we actually lived next door to each other. We were about 8 or 9 years old. And we... So, like I said, we were really close. And it turns out that we weren't just sisters. Or we weren't just friends. We were sisters. It turns out that one of our dads had impregnated both moms. And I wasn't sure whose dad it was. Both our moms were single moms at this point that I was seeing this. There was no dads in the picture. And me and my sister friend, Clara, started, exhibiting like spiritual gifts, like what I'm talking about now, like the clairvoyance and things like that. Basically, we started doing spooky shit like kids do, you know? And our moms got really scared because I guess our dad was also kind of like spookyish. And they thought that we were possessed by demons. So they started getting really scared of me and Clara. So they plotted, and they ended up poisoning us. And Clara's mom poisoned me, and my mom poisoned Clara. And we died in the early 1980s in Michigan. And our moms never got caught because they made it look like, you know, we just got sick and it was a freak thing, and you know, that we both caught the same whatever. But yeah, and so it kind of fits into the whole like satanic panic thing of the 70s and 80s. So mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Huh. Have you ever looked up that story to see if you could find anything in Michigan regarding any death records or anything?
I've tried to, but the thing is it wasn't like a murder, you know, like these moms were never caught. It was just these two girls, me being one of them, just got sick and died. So there's not really going to be any big news stories. I don't know like what town to search in, like, it would be,
yeah,
it's not impossible, but it's not, it would not be easy whatsoever to find out, because it wasn't, yeah, like, it wasn't something that would, like, make the news, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, like, crazy nuts stories from your clients' past lives that they've told you?
Yeah. So there's one story that I want to tell, and, like, major trigger warning, it is really gruesome. So this client, she lived during the time of the Black Plague, and she in this life was a man, so I will from this point on refer to her as he, but my client was a woman. So in this life, he lived on a farm, and his parents, like, ran this farm, and they, I don't know what they grew, but one day her father was out coming back from town on a horse and wagon, and there was this, like, beggar on the side of the road, and he was really sick, and my client's father, like, tried to help him and, like, gave him some bread and whatever. Well, it turns out that this beggar had the plague and gave it to the dad, who then brought it back to the farm and gave it to the mom, and everyone died a horrible death, but my client, this younger boy, probably like teens, for some reason, like, got a little bit sick but didn't die, so, like, you know, rebounded and was fine, but his whole family was dead. Like, everyone was dead. He was now alone on the farm. Well, he didn't have any, like, resources or anything. He was like, what am I gonna do, like, alone on this farm? So he decided to go into town and try and, like, figure out his next steps. Well, he went into town, and what he found was just death and disease. Like, the whole town was hit hard by the plague. There was just, like, dead bodies in the street, rotting corpses. Like, there was no town anymore, basically. So this boy, my client, was searching for food. This gets gruesome. Now, remember, I am seeing all of this. I can see this along with my client. So I am seeing all these dead bodies and things along with my client. So, very disturbing. He couldn't find any food, so he ends up starting to eat the corpses.
Ew. Diseased corpses?
So he knows that he's not going to get sick because he didn't get the plague. He's, like, immune for some reason. So yeah, he knows that maybe he'll get, like, physically ill, like, from rotted meat, but he's not gonna die.
Yeah.
So it's either starve to death or eat this rotted human flesh and fill his belly.
Ew. I'd rather starve to death.
It gets worse.
Oh my god.
So eating this putrid human flesh drove him to madness. And he started, is this a verb? I'm going to make it a verb because I don't want to say it the other way, but started necrophiliaizing.
Okay.
Oh, he was fucking corpses.
Kylie said it for me. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
That's my role here.
He was fucking corpses because he got driven mad by this, like, putrid meat that he ate. So that has stuck with me. So I've seen so many lives of people, like, so usually in a session I do 1 or 2 hour sessions, and in a 1 hour session I usually see, like, 3 to 5 lives, and in a 2 hours we can see, like, up to 10. So I've seen, like, hundreds of lives of people, and I don't always remember them, you know, because it's not it's not important for me to remember, it's important for them to remember. But that story has stuck with me. I still think about it. It was super disturbing, super, super disturbing for not only me, but my clients. And, yeah, that's probably the craziest story that I have.
Do you think people, like, don't tell you some of the stuff that they see?
Yeah. I've had people, like, tell me, like, they've held things back mm-hmm. from me.
But you saw it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that they're sugarcoating.
Yeah. And so usually I'll ask questions. Like, I'll know. And that especially comes up with, like, sexual assault and rape and stuff. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when people want to go back and see traumatic lives, that's a lot of the times what we'll see. And so, you know, we work through those feelings and stuff. We see a lot of hard things. And being a past life regressionist is, you know, kind of like being, like, a therapist a little bit, because you're guiding people seeing awful things. I have seen the Holocaust multiple times. I regressed this girl who's now one of my really good friends. And I'm asking, you know, where are you? Blah, blah, blah. She was a mother with her two young kids in a gas chamber.
Oh, my God.
During the Holocaust. So, yeah. So if you're looking to heal trauma, don't worry. The world has plenty of traumatic history for us to visit. So, yeah, it can get really tough. But, you know, we walk through it. We see what we need to see. And then at the end, we talk about, like, okay, what's the lesson here? Like, what can we take away from it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I'm so going to do this with you, Chelsea. Okay.
So,
like, 100.
Yeah. Chelsea, what services do you offer, and how can people access your services?
Sure. So, like I said, I offer the past life regression sessions. I either do a 1 hour or 2 hour sessions. And it's $50 an hour. And I also do tarot readings, as well. And those are $10 each. And I do all of this through Instagram. So my Instagram handle is, CH_ELSEYC. So Chelsea C with an underscore after the CH. And you can just DM me there and, talk about what you would like to do.
Cool.
And we'll link this in the episode as well. When we, release the episode, we'll link it, and yeah. So y'all can reach it easily when you are listening to this episode. Just go to our, it'll be linked in our episode description as well. We can add links in there. So if you're on Spotify or Apple or whatever you're on, you could click her Instagram link in the description of this episode.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Strangers. Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me on for these several episodes, and let me share my info with you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah,
thanks for joining us.
So glad that we got to do this.
Me too. It was really fun.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, guys, if you have any lingering questions for us or for Chelsea on any of this, you could obviously just chat Chelsea, or you can go ahead and let us know, and we can get some answers back to you from Chelsea, however, whichever way you want to do it. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all Perfect Stranglers, and you can also shoot us an email, contact@perfectstranglers.com, and we will chat with you next Thursday.
Also, follow Chelsea on Instagram.
Yeah, follow Chelsea. And like I said, we're going to link her so you can so easily just go ahead and link. You don't have that anymore?
No, yet. I don't have TikTok anymore.
Just Instagram.
No, it's a good thing because it fucking sucks your brain. I had to delete it off my phone. Long story. Not really. I just got addicted. Okay. Yeah, guys. Thanks for chatting with us. We'll have all of our links in the descriptions and stuff so you can follow both of us. And we will chat with you next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, Stranglers.